Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmadbhatti, a fourth-generation homeopath with over 25 years of professional experience and practice in this field of healing. The Homeopathy Health Show is the online voice of homeopathy around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing, which is suitable for all ages, young and old. Every week, I invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy. Why not visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast button to listen to the latest episodes. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Podcast here on the UK Health Radio Network. I do hope you're well. Now, on episode 40 of the podcast, I had the good fortune to speak with Ian White, who, as you know, is a homeopath and a fifth generation herbalist and founder of the Australian Bushflower Essences. Now, I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted to have Ian back on the podcast today to talk more about the Bushflower Essences. Ian White, absolute pleasure to welcome you back all the way from Australia.
Thank you, Atiq.
Now, it's close to midnight here for me, certainly, during this recording, but oh my, is it well worth it. But it's an absolutely new day. A new day dawns in Australia, where Ian is joining me from today.
Yes, and a hot day here, as opposed to the Northern Hemisphere. We're still in our last throes of summer. I think it's about 30... going to be about 32 degrees today. Sorry if you're getting a bit jealous there. It's cold in England.
Does it carry on increasing, right? It goes up and up and up, yes? The temperature.
Well, we were supposed to have a very hot summer. We've had very wet summers where it hasn't been overly hot, but it's been a bit of a mixture. So, you know, like if you get days over 35, it's very hot. We haven't had too many of those, fortunately. Certainly for where I am. Yeah,
I think we hardly get any in the UK, as you know. I'm sure you've been here, so it's been it rains a lot, and it's quite gloomy. But hey,
well, we have a remedy called bush iris. It works on the pineal, and that seasonal affect disorder. It's really nice when there hasn't been a lot of sunshine to work with that one. Also with a flower which is very appropriately called sunshine wattle. Ooh. So, you know, when people are, you know, just coming through, you know, just getting into the, you know, March, and they've gone through, you know, those 3 months where it's really dark and bleak, it can be a nice remedy. It can be a good remedy in the middle of it as well. Bush iris is great. It works on pineal. We put it in our travel essence. So, you know, if you decide it's too cold in England, I'm going to come and join me in Australia. You know, you've got a 23-hour plane trip, and we say that a combination called travel, you take it hourly on the plane, and you know, really negates the jet lag. And one of the key things in that is the bush iris, because it's regulating your body clock. So, you know, as you said, we've got an 11-hour time difference. Every 2 hours, there's a different organ which is prominent in Chinese medicine. So, you know, for example, you might be in gallbladder time right now in England, yet, you know, I'm in spleen pancreas time here in Australia. So when you fly into different time zones, it takes you about a day for every 2 hour time difference for your body to readjust. But if you take the bush iris working on the pineal, you regulate that body clock very quickly and adapt quite quickly without the jet lag.
I'm sure that's something that you keep very close to you, because you're flying here, there and everywhere, literally.
Yes, unfortunately Australia's, such a long way from everything. So if I'm going to teach in South America, it's the same about a 23-hour flight to Brazil as it is sort of coming into Europe.
Wow. How is that? How do you find that flying everywhere, having to fly everywhere? I know the joy and the zeal, of course, for teaching and training, and I know you're an amazing teacher as far as bush flower essences are concerned, about homeopathy and so many other modalities. But how do you manage, actually, is really the question, with flying and obviously then teaching all day, international workshops, and then flying back home, and then obviously it's a packed schedule, isn't it? Literally.
Yeah, because it takes such a long time to get over there. So normally in Europe, we'd be teaching for, 10 weeks, and then we'll go to Japan, come home. So you want to make the most of your time while you're there. It's more that big leg flying from Australia to Europe and coming back. The internal flights are not so bad, except it's a hassle of getting to the airports on time and dropping your rental car off and et cetera, et cetera. But I think the key thing is if you can try and be rested, have some sleep before you fly. And often people are so busy trying to tidy up loose ends when they're away for a long time. So, the calm and clear to put you off to sleep when you're there. And meditation, I find is good. At the end of the day of teaching, the first thing I want to do is go and meditate. And if I don't do that, say there's a meeting, we're going off for dinner, you really notice the difference. It's just that way of recharging and makes it easier. Yeah. And I think it's if you really enjoy it, it's a passion. Like you're getting the energy from the people in the room and, you're getting excited because they're suddenly little light bulbs going off. Oh, I didn't know I could use this essence for that. Or, that you can see them thinking about, wow, I could use it on my grandchild here or my aunt or this patient. Oh, they hadn't thought about that essence. So you get the excitement from the group. And I guess my passion is to sort of, explain and show them the potential of what they can do with the remedies. So that's very exciting for me when there are people coming here to wanting to learn that.
Ian, without embarrassing you, I was speaking to my nephew yesterday, and he said, "Oh, what are you up to this evening?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm talking to a fifth generation herbalist from Australia," and I was explaining to him that it's the next day, and I said, "There's something so special about this individual." And I told him about your story, as far as I know, and I explained to him about the bush flower essences. And I said, he reminds me of David Attenborough, but from the healing perspective, where David is, sitting on a rock or on a grass verge, and he's talking about nature and science and animal life and the sound of animals and et cetera, et cetera. I said, Ian White, this gentleman from Australia, is like that, but he's the David Attenborough of healing, literally, of essences. And he was fascinated, but I'm sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you do inspire, Ian. You inspire so many people, and so many people talk about you when I speak to them around the world, and so many know about the essences. And the work that you do is not going to ever go anywhere. It's always there. That's the beauty, isn't it, of these essences? They're always going to be around.
Yeah. And we have something in place. If something was to happen to me, then, there's always someone trained to know where to find the essences and go and make them up, because they're really scattered far and wide all across Australia, their locations. Yeah.
Now, congratulations are in order, albeit very belated. You have become a granddaddy or grandfather. So how does that feel? Congratulations, of course, from me and from all of the listeners and the presenters at UK Health Radio.
Oh, great. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Oh, it's very nice. I mean, it's, I've just got the one daughter to see her being, having her wish of wanting to start a family, and there were some challenges during the pregnancy, and she was confined to home for like 20 weeks, couldn't exercise. She's a very physical person. And just to see her, that it's the baby's healthy, she's recovering from it, and it's really nice to see her progressing you know, through those stages of life. And, you know, she lives 15 minutes away from my wife and I, so we get to see the baby quite a lot. And yeah, so that's really nice.
That's wonderful, isn't it? And yeah, that really is wonderful. Congratulations again. It's so, so good, isn't it? And you're going to find your time even, you're probably going to get less time to yourself now because obviously the kids take priority, right? Or the grandkids.
Yes, I think Grace, my daughter's already told Jane, and this will be a schedule for you for looking after the child. So I think we're going to be doing quite a lot of activity. And, you know, when I started at the Bush Essences, my main goal was I want to have every household having the essences so children get brought up with it. So here's this little baby who's been getting essences while he's been in, you know, his mum's womb, and you know, straight after birth, they put fringed violet over the crown because, you know, at that anterior fontanelle, the aura is wide open. And some cultures say don't put the child on the ground in that first 6 weeks. Others say don't take it outside the house. So be really careful who the baby comes in contact because psychically they're so open. So, you know, Grace, you know, we went to see her the same day the baby's born. She said, I've put some fringed violet over its crown chakra. And, you know, there was... she had some tearing, so, you know, there was some slender rice flour to help heal that. And, you know, she had a bottle of Bohinia in case the pregnancy didn't progress past second stage. So, you know, there was great. It was really wonderful to see the people really close to you, who you love, being able to get the benefit from the essences.
Yeah. I think having you around is probably going to have been the best birth possible for any child, you know. You know, here are the essences, there you go, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, so spraying, so space clearing through the room, it's in the birthing room, so that was, yeah, that was good. Yeah,
Ian, I know we spoke about this in episode 40, and those listeners who aren't aware, Ian was on episode 40, as I mentioned earlier, of the podcast, and you can find that, of course, on all the podcast platforms. But we did speak about how you source the essences, but I very much wanted to revisit that. And Ian, as a homeopath, you know that there is a formal process as far as homeopathy is concerned, where a substance is taken from the animal, mineral, or plant kingdom, and then it goes through a certain process, and it results in a remedy. But of course, the remedy is far, far away from the original substance. It would be really, really interesting and wonderful to know what's the process for the bush flower essences. What processes do you go through to get this these wonderful, amazing healing vibrations?
Yeah. So how are they created, more or less?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So when Bach was doing his work, Dr. Edward Bach, back in the 1930s, he had two methods to prepare his remedies. It was the sunshine method and the boiling method. So he'd boil buds, for example, especially the trees, elm and larch, etc. So I just use the sunshine method, where flowers are picked under ideal conditions, placed in a bowl of pure water, and the sun releases that vibrational quality of the flower. In England, it took Bach 4 hours. In Australia, the sun is, you know, a lot more intense, hotter. So it takes about an hour and a half, hour and three quarters. There's a point where you see the flowers go limp, where the energy is being released. So the flowers are then discarded. That water is mixed with an equal part brandy. And that's our mother tincture. So it hasn't been, waiting 2 weeks like the homeopathic remedies in the alcohol. And then from that, it's diluted down a stage to the stock strength. And the stock is diluted one more time to dose. So it's not like homeopathy where you can be, you know, diluting down to 10 mg potencies. So they're very different. But you can't, it's not the same as saying, oh, it's a 3x because there's been just a couple of dilutions. You don't need to succuss. So that's also quite different. The other thing is there's a self-adjusting mechanism. When you're working directly with the plants, you're bringing in that spiritual range, the devas, the nature spirits, etc. So there's a self-adjusting mechanism. which the beauty is that anyone can use, and they don't have to have years of training in homeopathy to understand how to prescribe and what to look for in case there's an aggravation. So, you know, it's more straightforward. A parent can think, oh, my daughter's very upset. She didn't get invited to the birthday party. All her friends did. So we can give the remedy for the rejection. Or, you know, a child's very sad because, you know, one of the grandparents passed. And so it's quite straightforward. Oh, the sadness, we can give the sertraline dealing with sadness. So it's a little bit more straightforward in that. And I think, you know, with provings, it's a good way to really understand the remedy in homeopathy, where with the flower essences, there's that direct communication with spirit, with the plant. But there's also the clues nature's giving, as in the doctrine of signatures. So by really observing, okay, how many petals, how many stamens are here? What's the color? What's it growing near? You know, the shape of the seed, like five corners, a remedy for self-esteem. The seed has got five sides to it. So, you know, we can think of the anatomical position, Leonardo da Vinci's anatomical position, the man standing, the feet, the arms, and the head being the five points in the circle. And when someone's low self-esteem, feeling a bit crushed, they're held in, and this remedy really opens them up, for example, to be in that, their full feeling, their full magnificence. And that's the five. Waratah, remedy for great courage and strength. It's also a physical problems for the heart. It's shaped like a heart. And I studied numerology at the same time that I was doing my naturopathy and herbal medicine homeopathy training. And that's really given me a good understanding about the petals, stamens, you know, sepals, things like that, which are really some of the clues hidden in the plant that it's like just waiting to get that understanding. And the texture, like flannel flower, for people uncomfortable with physical intimacy, it's a very sensuous flannel-like texture. You feel like you want to stroke and touch it. So again, clues like that are very good. So it's probably more subjective, whereas I think with the provings, you know, there's a level of subjectivity, but it's more widespread over a lot more people, where it seems to be a more of an individual experience in making the essences initially. And then, you know, I will publish them. We'll be doing research. We'll do Kirlian photography with them. We'll do kinesiology to verify that intuitive information. And then other people will start to maybe have some insights or from their experiences using it. So it's like a raw diamond where it comes through. And as people use it, we see all the facets of the remedy. And, you know, sometimes it's a very clear communication. It's like looking at the plant. It's like being really flooded with information about it when I'm in that meditative state with the plant.
Yeah. That's such that must be so, so beautiful to be part of that. And certainly you are right in there, literally at the deep end. And that must be such a humbling experience.
It's so exciting when you've had that experience with the plant. You've felt like it's been that clear, open communication, that you've had all these insights about it. It's and you're out in the bush. We don't grow the plants. I go out into their locations where they're growing in the wild because I want their life force to be strong, have to survive the droughts and floods and what have you. So, you know, you're away from other people in very pristine environments and having this, you know, this really pure connection with spirit and the plant. It's very good. In the early days, I used to worry that, what happens if that stops? Like, you know, I go to a plant, get nothing from it, or something like that. I don't worry about that now. It's been going for, you know, nearly 40 years. So I trust the process now. Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
But it's hard work, isn't it? I remember in the previous episode you mentioned the fact you gave an example where you had to, I think, travel for a couple of days and then walk a couple of hours to get to a specific flower that you were after. And then it started to rain. And I believe you had to come back and then take that journey again. So yeah, the commitment and the time required, I mean, it's not as straightforward as one may think. There's a lot of time and a lot of commitment required, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, to go to the other side of the country, it's a 5-hour flight. And as you said, sometimes there's connecting flights and then you're driving for a couple of hours. And then when I look like the hunchback of, you know, the Notre Dame, Quasimodo, because I've got a huge backpack. I've got brandy. I've got water. I've got bowls. I've got a spare bowl. You know, once I was in the middle of nowhere and the backpack wasn't fully secured. So as I bent forward to take it off, the bowl came out and hit the granite rocks and disintegrated. And I was like, you know, walk back to the cars now, then a 3-hour drive to get another bowl. So I always make sure that I have backup things in case of. So, you know, it's not just walking or having a nice stroll, but you're really a bit like a pack horse.
Ian, hats off to you, because who does that? I mean, if you broke a bowl, most people would probably say, forget it and just go home and not return. But that's testament to the beauty of the Australian bush flower essences, because just as you say, I think they're so, so important to have at home. I think everyone should have certainly some of those essences at home because they're amazing. I mentioned to you last time when we were talking that I use them. I use them in my practice for patients and I use them myself. And they're so, so effective and they're so deep acting. And the results, well, the results are magnificent, of course. And I think it's so, so important. And I'm just thinking, you know, the amount of effort that you're putting in, when you think about the hours or the days for a flower, but then the results are not going to go anywhere. The healing properties of an Australian bush flower essences, let's just take one as an example, is never going to go anywhere. She-oak is always going to be around now, you know, and it's probably healing millions and millions of people. So that must be a nice feeling for you as well, right? A feeling of, yes, you know, you've given something back and it's here to stay.
One of the most lovely experiences is hearing the testimonial, someone writing in and saying, you know, I use she-oak or another remedy and what the results were and the benefit they're getting. So, you know, like, I really appreciate the time they take to do it, but I love reading the testimonials and knowing that they're getting those results and what have you. And I think my commitment is that I want to make the essences the very best they can be for when people use them. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Which takes us on to bush fuchsia. Now, on the official Instagram page of the Australian Bush Flower Essences, which you must subscribe to, by the way, and also do have a look at the reel section within Instagram under Australian Bush Flower Essences, because there's many, many videos of Ian in the outback, in various parts of Australia, with the flowers in hand, talking about their healing properties and the beauty of them. That's why I referenced David Attenborough, because it just reminds me, and I think this is so, so good. But it's from the healing perspective, so it's even more wonderful, right? Fuchsia, in one of these recent videos that was posted, you say it has many healing aspects that lead it to an incredibly effective remedy in enhancing learning. And one of those beauties, like other bush essences, is its speed in clearing blocks. So an immediate change is apparent after just a dose. And bush fuchsia also balances the intuitive brain functions and encourages individuals to trust and act upon their gut feelings. It's such an important essence, isn't it? Because so many people are stuck, aren't they, at the moment? And we're all going through this new generational phase because of not social media on its own, but just generally where 20 seconds of information and you have to flick to the next one, you know, that's enough for us. It's like, show me the facts of a story. I don't want to know the what, how it was said, or what context or the background. Just tell me what was said in bullet points. And it's interesting when I look at Bushi as far as enhanced learning, using your brain intuitively as well, you know, expanding. But of course, you're the expert and the master, so I'll let you explain more about that. But it's so applicable, I find, for today's generation.
Attic, with this one particular essence, we could spend probably two or three episodes just talking about purely bush fuchsia. And it's got that wonderful ability to listen to and to trust your gut feeling. And we've just talked about, you know, my daughter giving birth. It's a wonderful remedy for women, especially who've just had their first child, because there's so many experts around them. There's, you know, in mother-in-laws, and there's the nurses and the doctors telling, oh, you need to do this for your baby. And the best person who really knows is the mother, really trusting her intuition of what the baby needs. And so we've given a lot to new mothers. It's a great one. And as you said, it's very intense times, and to be able to listen to that quiet, still voice within to get your guidance of what you should do, and, you know, in all sorts, it could be in relationships, it could be in your work, it could be, you know, like all sorts of different areas, to get that gut feeling. And, you know, I'm sure just about everyone listening to our podcast has had a situation where they've got a gut feeling about something, and they then quickly dismiss it as, oh, that's irrational, that's totally stupid. You know, like I once was doing about to head off to a workshop, and I got this little voice said, count the money in your wallet. And I thought, this stupid avarice thought of this. And I, you know, got the workshop, came lunchtime, went to buy some lunch. My wallet wasn't there. And I was going, it's probably been left at home, but has it fallen out of my bag? Has it been taken? And it was this uncomfortable feeling till I got home and found it there. And if I had have listened to my gut feeling that morning, gone and had a look, counted the money, I would have found my wallet wasn't where it normally is, and then would have put it in, but I would have known everything was okay. But you can't think of, why should I count the money in my wallet? Or you're driving somewhere and you get a sense of, oh, don't go this way, go a different way. And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to be late. It takes 5 minutes longer if I go that way. And you just go ahead. And of course, there's a traffic jam, or there's a car broken down, and you're stuck. And you think, dang, I wish I had trusted that gut feeling. So bush fuchsia is a very good one. And I think it's a great one for parents, because children who are born in this century have all got at least 1-2 in their numerology. And, you know, we've had dates in February where the 22nd of the 2nd, 2024, you know, so these children have got 5-2s, incredibly sensitive and intuitive. And, you know, I think the essence can help the parents understand that sensitivity of the children, help them to balance that. So bush fuchsia it's a great one for working on intuition. Now, I had a fantastic experience, and this is going back, you know, 1990, and I was teaching in Hammersmith. It was the hospital there, and it was, I think, one of my early workshops in the UK. And we had an endocrinologist called Ellis Snitcher, and he was in the room, and I was talking about bush fuchsia, and he said, I'd just like to share with you that, he said, I was involved in the Netherlands with helping to develop the contraceptive pill. And he says, even though there were some great advantages, I feel guilty. I feel like the consequences, the negative consequences, don't override the positive benefits of the pill. And he said, for me, the biggest concern, it wasn't, you know, the common symptoms we normally associate with the pill, but for him was the impact on the hypothalamus. And he said, especially the early days were very high estrogen levels. And he said, you know, that he was now working with homeopathy and flower essences. You know, he was probably in his late 60s at the time when I met him. And he said, the most effective treatment I found for rebalancing the hypothalamus has been bush fuchsia. And you know, he was someone who's been working in endocrinology for, you know, 40 odd years. And then we had a woman's essence. Bush fuchsia wasn't part of that. But as I'd be teaching in Europe, we had a number of gynecologists coming through and say, Ian, you'll get better results if you mix sheoak with the bush fuchsia. And we did that because you're balancing the sheoaks working on ovaries, bush fuchsia working on hypothalamus, and those two endocrine glands really regulating the hormonal system for women. So, you know, like bush fuchsia has been a mainstay with the woman essence. And whenever I use sheoak, I would suggest that they work with bush fuchsia. In fact, there was a Greek obstetrician gynecologist who came to my workshops in Europe a number of years ago, and she said, Ian, she had an IVF clinic in Athens. She said, I've been using pink flannel flower with the sheoak and the bush fuchsia, and it's even better. And she said, in Chinese medicine, the heart is connected to uterus, and pink flannel flower, it's this beautiful pink. It's all about gratitude, such a lovely heart remedy. So, you know, we experimented for a good year getting people to try, and we thought, yeah, absolutely. So now pink flannel flower gets mixed with the bush fuchsia and the sheoak. And, you know, my wife plays harp in the opera in Sydney. And then sometimes she'll be performing and then she doesn't play for 20 minutes. Then she's got to come in. She's got to keep her focus, know exact time. Her fingers have got a bit cold. And so she'll take, excuse me, bush fuchsia in those times before she plays, just for that coordination and balance and what have you. Same as, you know, we have a lot of sports people, especially if they're doing hand-eye coordination. You think of tennis and football, cricket, and they'll take bush fuchsia before playing. So it's working on that coordination. So it's integrating left and right hemispheres of the brain. So you'll be dominant in one, but you need to be able to access the other one, and also front and back brain. So, you know, when a baby, we've talked about new babies, they've got big bulging foreheads because they're very much in front brain. They're just taking in all this new stimulus. Back brain is survival mode. So, you know, they go to school, they get bullied or they get criticized or they feel they're stupid, you know, because they're not doing well. When they go to learn, you should be in front brain, be open to new information, but they're in survival mode. Can I get through the mathematics class without being asked? Because I've got no idea what's going on. People laugh at me because I make mistakes. So the bush fuchsia, it's integrating front and back, left and right. Now, girls, for example, they don't have as many neurons in the brain, but they're better connected. They're crossing the corpus callosum, so you're getting connections both sides, where boys have more, but they're not crossing over as much, which is the reason why, you know, there's that classic thing in relationships where, you know, a female will talk about, oh, I've got this problem, and the male wants to solve it, which is very much, you know, the left brain, whereas her girlfriends, for example, would listen to her and they'd talk, you know, not necessarily trying to get a solution, but just talking about it. And it's that we're wired in different ways. So, you know, the bush fuchsia is doing so many things like that. Dyslexia, you know, it's a great one for that. We have a combination called focus, which is for learning problems. And bush fuchsia for me is the key essence in that. And if we look at young babies, you know, when my grandson's going to be starting to crawl, ideally he will crawl same arm and leg first, you know, and they'll do that for a period of time, and then they'll do cross crawling opposite arm and leg. And if they don't go through that sequence, they're going to have some learning problems. It's part of that rewiring the brain. So, you know, for children with learning problems, you sometimes find their coordination. Bush fuchsia is a great one for balancing that. Same as if it's been a traumatic birth, maybe, you know, forceps, things like that. And it can really have an impact on the cranial bones, and bush fuchsia will correct that. So, you know, it can minimize the learning problems that they otherwise would have. You know, it's a great one for speech. We have singers, actors who'll take it before auditions or before performing, and it gives that tone, timbre, melody of the voice. And in, you know, you mentioned, you know, like showing straight away. In my workshops, when we talk about bush fuchsia, we do demonstrations. Some people, they're switching off on numbers. Others, they get really sleepy when they read. They're not processing information effectively. Bush Fuchsia will correct that. And one of the stunning things in that workshop is we ask, does anyone feel like they don't read so well? We get them to come out in front of the class. We give them a novel, tell them to open, and we muscle test. We use kinesiology first. Then we get them to read anywhere in the novel out aloud. And quite often, if the hemispheres aren't integrated, they're only seeing single words. They're not putting it together to get the understanding of the context of what they're reading. So they don't remember really what they've read. And when they read out loud, it's very flat monotone. The cat sat on the mat. Hmm. And, you know, we say, how was that? And, oh, it was a bit difficult. Ask them, do they remember what you just read? And say, no. We muscle test and the arm unlocks, which indicates it's been stressful. We give them a dose of Bush Fuchsia, get them to open up to a different passage and read again. And suddenly from the, you know, the flat monotone, it's like reading inflection, and they understand, because they're not just seeing single words, but now they're seeing the word, they know where they're up to, but they're taking up the whole group of words in that sense. They're understanding the meaning, so when they should emphasize words, etc. And projection. And, you know, and we ask them, how was that? Oh, yeah, it was quite different. They remember what they read. And then I ask the audience, did you notice a difference between the first and second readings? And it's just like, it's so stunning. One dose and you get that result. So, you know, so many different areas where Bush Fuchsia is working. And I had, if you don't, let me just say one little thing before we go on to something else. Bush Fuchsia is a very good one for people who get lost. Their sense of direction is terrible. Hmm. You know, Bush Fuchsia is that, which if you're wandering out in the bush, it's good to know you end up where you want. Yeah, come back absolutely. Where your car is or whatever. And so Bush Fuchsia is good for that. And it was probably about 20 years ago, I got some new information about Bush Fuchsia, and that, you know, really helping you to align to the sunset, to some of the sense of season and time that we're in. And I wrote about this, and we had a number of people wrote into us or contact and said, oh, I want the new Bush Fuchsia essence, which has this, you know, new quality. And what I found was that the mother tincture that I'd made a couple of years earlier, before that understanding of this quality, and it didn't have that quality when I last made the remedy. It had been absorbed into the mother tincture, even though it was made beforehand, and which I found was fascinating. I said, well, you don't need to. Your bottles will have already taken on that quality. And the flowers are evolving as well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I mean, everything is evolving on the planet. Gaia, our Mother Earth, she's evolving, going to the next level. She's our mother. She says, come on, come with the journey with me. She wants us to go with her. And, you know, so the plants have evolved through time, and, you know, they're taking on new qualities. And this was just a lovely snapshot of seeing this flower taking on that new quality at the time, and seeing how that the impact that had come through the existing bottles made years earlier. And I do a process when making the remedies that when you make the essence, you're capturing the essence at this point in time of its evolution. But there was a process that was given to me where you can capture all the different evolutions that plant had, not just what it's doing in current time. And it's interesting that there's various levels and layers of, you know, when you with the essence making. Even things like, you know, I tend to present myself by going in through the south, direction wise to make an essence. It's showing to spirit that I'm a novice, I'm open to help. If you come in through the north, you're more or less saying, I'm an expert, I know what I'm doing, and they'll go, okay, off you go, you do it, we'll just sit back and watch. So it's calling in the various beings. I had a message, and it was from Hildegard von Bingen. The next time I went to her original monastery, it's about an hour west of Frankfurt, that to go where the altar would have been in the church, and there was a gift for me. And I went there and there were two little stones. I was told to take those. And when making up an essence in Australia, to put one of those stones, a smaller one, near the bowl. And if I was making up a remedy in another country, like some of the spiritual remedies, then to take the second stone. And it was just to help really bring her presence around when I'm making the essence. And I'm really opening up to all the spiritual beings for their help and guidance when the essences are being prepared.
What an amazing essence. Absolutely. Like you said, I think there's so much to mention. I was going to ask you on you mentioned bush fuchsia as far as alleviating doubt. So its applicability must be really, really apparent here for those who have objectives or want to set goals, but sometimes are very indecisive and you think, am I overthinking it? Or if it's a gut feeling that you're going to go a certain way and you think, and then you start self-doubting yourself, thinking, no, this is foolish, or this idea is ridiculous, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, bush fuchsia is perfect for that. Exactly. Yeah, one of its very strong healing aspects. Yeah. And amazing. It saves so much time. You listen to your gut feeling, and if you have that ability to really tune in, block other things out, listen to it, trust it, you'll save yourself so much more time and angst, and life will flow so much more smoothly.
I was going to ask you, that now that I've got your attention, what's a good essence or essences for a podcast host?
Hey, well,
there's a lot of learning that's involved, and I'm trying to think at the same time of where we're heading in the conversation. So,
I would work with your focus. So you remember what the key things you want to ask your guests. The bush fuchsia, really trusting, and it's allowing you. You might have I'm going to ask this question. And then suddenly, it's going down a different track, and it's that intuition. Oh, yeah, I'm going to follow that. Or, what's this next question? But also you've got the jacaranda, so you don't get too sidetracked. You don't go down, a rabbit hole that's maybe too far from what you want to do. So it's that nice balance.
Wonderful. Ian, another wonderful Australian bush flower essence is dog rose. And with dog rose, you say it has a unique appearance resembling drooped shoulders and symbolizes someone who is shy with a crushed, held-in personality. And you also mentioned that this bush essence enhances the flow of the vital force, and it elevates a quality of life, courage, and self-esteem. Again, I suppose you could say every single Australian bush flower essence is applicable absolutely in the modern world that we live in today. But again, this one is so, so important because over the last few years, we've had a few ups and downs as far as our health is concerned and various things going on. And people have come with a lack of courage, or self-esteem seems to be dwindling. People don't want to socialize. They don't want to mix. They do feel shy. It's funny, a few years ago, as we were coming out of the pandemic, how shy people had become to meet those that they were mingling with a few years prior, because they were stuck indoors. And it was like, oh, I don't know. And are they going to observe me? What are they going to ask me? Do I look okay? Do I look the same? Am I the same? So dog rose, I assume, is something that can come in very, very handy for someone suffering from those type of, I suppose you could call symptoms. You could call them symptoms, really.
Yes, definitely. And I think if you talk to counselors, psychiatrists, people just involved in healing who are treating patients, there's almost an epidemic of anxiety And I think for people under the age of 30, it's so widespread. And, you know, it's and some of the things you mentioned that we've been through with the pandemic, the level of fear that was propagated to people that, you know, like just trying to force them to get vaccinated, for example. And, you know, this bombarded, there was the fear of, oh, my grandparents, or, you know, like, and if I don't get it, I'm feeling, you know, there was the guilt and the fear that, you know, what if I gave it to, you know, a sibling or someone I loved? And so, you know, there was this, on top of that age group, which was, you know, already having high levels of anxiety, it was just like quadrupled amount of, you know, this fear being projected onto people. And it's a very good way to control people. And so Dog Rose is fantastic for dealing with the fear and the anxiety. Mm. And, you know, there was situations occurring just before pandemic where young people were very fearful about what was happening on the planet, and especially with what the powerless they felt in the face of nature. So, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, we had horrendous bushfires in Australia. It felt like half the country was on fire. Mm. And it was getting worldwide attention. We lost, you know, talking of David Attenborough, over 2 billion animals were destroyed in those fires.
Oh, my.
And,
you
know, well over 150 people who perished as well. About like tens of thousands of houses burnt down. And, you know, we had people who weren't in Australia writing to us saying, I'm so afraid. Like, you know, just watching that brought up this tremendous fear. And then you have maybe in other countries, they're having floods. And we had fires in Spain, Canada, you know, the California. So there was this level of what's happening with nature, you know, is it going to destroy us? And so we had so many levels of anxiety and fear. And we brought out a remedy in response to the pandemic called Boost. You know, and we put the Dog Rose in there because those people were really being affected by that fear. And of course, you mentioned that doctrine of signatures, that crushed, held in, you know, the hanging down the petals. You know, it really looks like someone's, you know, not feeling very shifty, not shifty, but shuffling along, very crushed and held in. Mm. And, you know, so many people feeling uncomfortable, that shyness levels, not getting out of that social interaction that you mentioned because they've been locked away, mm. you know. And so we found Dog Rose an incredibly important remedy at this time, especially for younger people, you know, from the 30s down. And then we had children at school, you know, all the, you know, for a couple of years, you know, especially those ones, you know, 15, 16, 17. This is where the peer group is so important. You know, it's more important than the family. And yet they, you know, they didn't have any interaction with them, and it really had a big impact on their emotional development and ease with social interaction. So, you know, we found Dog Rose very good.
Ian, thank you so very much again. And, of course, again, belated congratulations on being a grandfather. And I very much look forward to having you back later this year. And we can talk more because there's so many essences I still want to pick your brains about.
Fantastic. And thank you for staying up so late to do the podcast and all the work and getting this information out there and really inspiring many people listening to it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab. Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.